Made everything. The Bible tells us in the book of Genesis that it was good, and when he finished that, he even said that the entire creation was very good. And of course, we've changed all of that through sin. Sin has changed the world we live in, and sin has changed us individually. One thing I'd like to notice this morning that it has changed is in some way the Bible, the way the Bible is written. Women's Lib has taken umbrance to the way the creation story is read, and they are trying in some way to make women independent from men. And while I recognize that most of us don't really have any effect in our life, there is a version of the Bible out now where God is spoken of as she. And all of the references to deity have to do with a feminine noun rather than a man noun. God is a she. And when you start thinking about that, you understand that that's really a perversion of the Bible. Amen. At the same time, I recognize the value of women. And much of the Bible is written with regard to the value of women and what they do in service. So this morning, it's sort of natural to go and talk about Mary and Martha. While we do not believe that Mary herself was the mother of God, she certainly was the mother of Jesus, and we're talking about a different Mary here, but we recognize the validity of the value of women, and we recognize that every story in the Bible is put there for a reason. So when we look at the story of Mary and Martha, turning back to Luke chapter 10, we find out some things about them, but also we find out some things about us. And we need to recognize sometimes that every story in the Bible is there for a reason. We go back to Luke 15, there's the story of the prodigal son and the lost coin and the lost sheep. And that's an answer to the charge that Jesus had something to do with sinners, that he associated with sinners, and this is the answer to that. Well, here's an occasion where we see Jesus in the lives of people, and one woman is criticizing the other for what takes place. And buried in that is a real good lesson for us. So I'd like to look at that this morning, beginning in Luke chapter 10 and in verse 38. The record says, it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore call her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." And in that, we see us ourselves as we look at the lesson that is there. Our Lord's relationship with these particular sisters was rather extensive. Along with Lazarus, who was their brother, they were dear friends of the Lord. And it says that as they went on their way, they came into this house, and Mary welcomed her into the house. I thought a lot of times what a wonderful thing it would be if we could have the Lord in our house. Amen. But he ought to be if he's not. But wouldn't it have been a good thing to have him to sit down at your table and you serve him a meal and maybe wash some clothes for him and help him on his way? It'd be a tremendous blessing to be able to do that. And Mary and Martha were dear friends of Jesus, as long with Lazarus. And Jesus is mentioned with them three times in the Bible, which is rather conspicuous. First of all, in John 11, they're there when Lazarus was raised. Now, this was a dramatic effect that really, as I mentioned before, the Pharisees and the Sadducees hated Jesus. But this particular act was called the straw that broke the camel's back, because when people knew that Lazarus had died and that his death was certain and that Jesus had raised him from the dead, so many people were following Jesus that the scribes and Pharisees said, "The whole world is going to follow after him. We've got to kill him." So this was the decision made after Lazarus was raised from the dead that they were going to kill Jesus because he was beginning to be more popular. But Mary and Martha both figure in the death of Lazarus. And then when Mary anointed Jesus in John 12, he was being anointed for his death, she said, and he praised her because of that. And then in Luke 10 that we just read, when Martha received him into her house. And I would like to think that he would be welcome in my house. And would you think for a moment in terms of your house, your home? Would Jesus be welcome there? Would he appreciate what he sees? Would he bless you for what is going on in your house? Would he feel comfortable in your house? Because those are all symbolic things. He's not coming into my house, literally. But whether or not he comes into your home and into your heart is really a very good test to see whether or not he would be received in your home and whether or not you would receive him as Martha was able to receive him there. So this is a personal thing in with every one of us, that we think in terms of Jesus coming into our presence and into our heart. And would he be welcome if he came? And what would he see in our house? Would he see good things or would he see bad things? Would he see the kind of thing he would appreciate, or would he rebuke us for what he finds in our house? With regard to Martha, Martha had a problem. And you can be sympathetic with her because of the situation. The Bible says in verse 40, she was distracted with much serving. Now, I don't know how many people were present in the house. The Bible doesn't really tell us, but it was a number of people because Jesus and his disciples were traveling. And so there was a number of people. And you know that when somebody comes to your house and they're going to eat there, there's going to be cooking and dishes and all of those things that go with the serving. There's a lot to be done, and when that was taking place, she was worried and troubled about many things. And I can understand that. I'm hesitating to be judgmental toward Martha because I recognize that somebody has to do the necessary things of life. You have to have a job. You have to make a living. You have to clean house. You have to dust. You have to wash dishes. You have to prepare for company. All those things are necessary things. But we're not to be worried, we're told, over physical things. Now, there's a balance here. These are not absolutes. If Jesus came into your home, or if anyone came into your home, there are things that you would have to do to make them feel comfortable. Back in the days of Jesus, there was usually the washing of feet to start with because of the dust that would be on their feet. And the washing of their feet was something like we would offer tea today to make somebody comfortable. So there are things to be done, and we have to recognize that. At the same time, there has to be a limit to what we do about those things. Beginning Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25, the Lord said, "Therefore I say unto you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more of value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." Now the climax of that is, now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you little faith? Now I recognize that Jesus is not being silly here. And I recognize that there's a balance between taking care of the physical needs of life and being worried and troubled about many things. It's a matter of faith that is being said in Matthew chapter 6. If you see that God takes care of the birds, and if God takes care of different things, then we ought to believe that God is going to take care of us. Amen. So the idea of being troubled about many things is the sense in which we are abnormally troubled. Yes, I've got to work. Some of you have to get up in the morning and go to work. You have to go through the commuter and all of those kinds of things. Jesus is not saying, stay home. He's not saying quit your job. Just let the Lord take care of me. That's not what's going to happen. In fact, among the Thessalonians, there were some who had quit their jobs, and they thought that Jesus was coming back in His second return any time. And Paul had to write them a letter and tell them, if you're not going to work, neither shall you eat. So we've got to see a balance here. The idea that, yes, I must work, but when I've done all that I can do to support my family, I've still got to trust God for the things of life and not be troubled, overly troubled, about these kinds of things. Now, that has an effect upon spirituality. You have people, I remember one time in North Carolina, there was a family that had a dog, and it was a much-loved dog. And I was not preaching there at the time, but the preacher noted that they missed Wednesday night because they stayed home with the dog, and the dog died. And he got on to them about it. And they said, but the dog was sick and it died. He said, let the dead bury the dead. Well, those are the words of the Lord. And I recognize we're worried and troubled about pets sometimes. But where do you draw the line? Which is the more important thing to do? Mm-hmm. There has to be a reasoning where you judge things according to what's really important and not be so worried over physical things that you allow that to interfere with your spiritual life. Now, that happens a lot of times with us who are Christians. We worry to the point where we do not have the faith that we ought to. Jesus rebuked the disciples in Matthew 6. He said, oh, ye of little faith. We have to have and operate upon the system of faith. But Martha's pride is something that's a key to understanding why the Lord rebuked her the way He did. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And that indicates a selfish kind of an attitude, where she was directing thoughts toward herself when Mary was not doing that. Now, Mary is not criticized. In fact, something is said about that. Martha was serving others, but she was focused upon herself. Now, there's a delicate balance here. I recognize this. But the Lord gave this illustration for a reason. This really took place. That Martha was more concerned about herself and her duties than she was in learning about God and what Jesus had to say. And when it came down to her priorities, Jesus said, Mary has chosen that good part or the better part. Now, that's a comparative term. Should Mary have been up helping? See, that's a question that's not answered. But Jesus was in the process of saying something, and Mary was more intent upon listening than she was in serving the duties of the hostess. And He says that Mary has chosen that good part, and she was not being lazy or neglectful, evidently. She had her priorities straight and made the right choice because Jesus commended her. So this causes some introspection with me. When it comes down to my service to God, when I attend and when I don't, do I make choices sometimes about not attending when it's not properly, it's not the kind of faith that I should have? I've heard of people saying, well, I couldn't come because I had to go to a family reunion. Well, we've got a family reunion here. Is the Lord with us? And are you with the Lord when you forsake the assemblies and go to a family reunion? You put some other excuse there. You put some other reason there. Why are we not attending all the times that we can attend? Now, I don't want to overburden anybody with guilt. I recognize there are times when people cannot attend. But when I make my choices and when I make my decisions about when I'm going to be present and serve the Lord, worshiping the Lord, and that's what this is about, do I let the cares and duties of the world interfere in my service to God? And it's quite evident that Martha did, because the Lord rebuked her for that. And it's quite evident that whatever fault might have been with Mary for not helping Martha, at that point in her life, she was doing what was good to be done. And so she made the right choice. One thing is needed. So there come some points in your life where you have this decision to make. Am I going to serve God or am I going to serve self? That's what it boils down to. When it comes down to the worship services of the church, if I can be present, I feel the obligation to be present. But at the same time, I feel the need to be present. In the psalm that we read this morning, Psalms 122, this is a prayer that many Jews still say today. Blessed be Jerusalem. Thy blessings upon Jerusalem. Well, God is not going to bless Jerusalem today anymore. He's finished with Jerusalem. But we are the people of God. We are the spiritual Jews. And we need to pray for the church. We need to be present during the times of worship service. We need to make the right kind of decisions with the right kind of priorities. Now, I recognize we've had so many sick folks, and I'm preaching to the choir this morning, the ones that are here. But these are all terms of introspection, and I look at myself as I do others. And I recognize when it comes down to basics, one thing is needed, and that is I put God first in my life. Amen. Now, you work that out in your life the way you need to. I need to work that out in my life the way that I need to. And as good as Martha was, she made a mistake. Because she allowed the things of the world to interfere, she wasn't listening to what Jesus had to say. She wasn't sitting at His feet. Now, it could have been that the meal would have been delayed. It could have been that Mary later would have gotten up and helped her. You don't know all the possibilities that are there. But what if you have to leave the bed unmade to go to worship services? In the view of things, does that really matter? Suppose there are breakfast dishes that you didn't have time to wash because you wanted to be at Bible class. In the long view of things, how important is that? So there's going to be a certain television show Sunday night that you want to watch, and you've got to make a choice. Am I going to go to church or am I going to watch television? Did you ever hear about VCRs? You know, you can watch it later. Well, what about football games? Oh my, the Cowboys are playing today. Well, you know, the Cowboys are religion today. And with many, religion is sort of a game. And a lot of people are going to have a party today because the Cowboys are playing. In 2020, will you remember what the Cowboys did today? Especially when they lose. You heard about the abused child who ran away from the abusers and went to the AT&T Stadium because he said, nobody will beat you there. Well, you know, those are humorous things. But it comes down to this one thing that is needed. And it's going to be on you to make that decision. It's on you. Now, if the Lord were in your house, would you tell Him to be quiet, the Cowboys are on? I think not. Would you say, well, I can't talk to you now, I've got to talk on my phone? I think not. You'd understand even the common courtesy, but how much more it was Jesus Christ our Lord. So Mary has chosen that good part. And she was not being neglectful or lazy, but she was making the right choices. And Burton Kaufman wrote a commentary. I don't agree with most of what he has to say in his commentary on Romans, but he said, whatever the duties of men, whether real or imagined, whether less or greater, the one great obligation of all who were ever born is that shall heed the word of the Son of God. Much of the failure of modern Christianity lies in the fact that Christians are busy with all kinds of things, many of them important and necessary, of course, yet they have no time for the Word of the Lord. And isn't that true for most of us? I would certainly include myself in that there are times when I want entertainment when I should be reading the Bible and doing things for other people. And we have to look at things like that. And as the Lord said with regard to Mary, she's chosen that better part. And only one thing was needful. One thing is needful. Now, as I apply that to me, I'd like to ask each of you to do the same thing. Look at your life, look at the opportunities of listening to the Word of God, and ask, am I troubled by many things so that I don't pay attention to what God wants me to do? Mary's blessings was that Mary gave the Lord her service, but Mary gave the Lord her attention. I don't know what the Lord was saying during that period of time. It's not revealed. But every word that came from Jesus was important. Amen. Just like it is in the Bible. So when we get involved in recreation and sports and that sort of thing, do I give the Lord equal time in that to give the Lord attention? And worship is to take priority over household duties. Yeah, it's good to walk into a clean house. But what if there's a dust bunny under the bed? If you leave that to go to worship God, who cares? Amen. So those are the things to learn. And she said, this is not going to be taken away from Mary. So wherever this story goes, the good part's not going to be taken away from Mary. She was listening. So the hospitality would be used up. Yes, the Lord would have eaten a meal. And then there would be dishes to wash. But then the bread of life provided a blessing that would never pass away. Hungering and thirsting after righteousness, that describes Mary. And so there's a good lesson from women here. Mary, perhaps the best, although she certainly was ready to serve the needs of Jesus, but Mary, who loved to listen to the Word of God. And I'm sure, knowing her, she would have eventually helped Martha, but Martha was worried about many things. So she was rebuked by the Lord for her anxiety, her pride, her misplaced priorities. Mary was blessed because she chose the good part. Now then, make that personal application. And that's what God intended when He put that story in the Bible. That we look at ourselves and make decisions about what I'm doing. Am I choosing the good part in my life? Or do I let little things get in my way? And so the lesson is yours this morning. To recognize that there are things that I can do to serve the Lord. But the best thing in all the way that I can do is listen to what God says and be ready to do what the Lord wants me to do. If you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ this morning, we certainly invite you to do so, thinking inwardly, what is the good part? And that will not be taken away from you. Would you stand and sing while we offer the invitation?
Just as I am.